Take your Bible and turn to 1 Kings chapter number 19. And I'll let you go home this afternoon and read this chapter. I've had people before, Brother Larry, that's told me they like to just kind of read. And if I let them know ahead of time, they kind of like just to see what maybe the Lord put on the preacher's heart as they go through the scripture. And there's nothing wrong with that. Let me say a couple words this morning leading up to the chapter 19. We've already been in chapter 18. Y'all remember that, don't you? Remember what happened in chapter 18? There was a great victory. Elijah met up with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he challenged them. He said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" We're in a world, beloved, where a lot of people stuck between two opinions. A lot of people aren't stuck. A lot of people's way out there in left field, so to speak. They don't believe the Bible's the word of God. They don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe Jesus is coming. They don't believe Jesus died like the Bible said. They're lost without God. Some of them, beloved, are what we call apostates. They've turned their back on revealed truth. Some of them are infidels, and some of them would call themselves atheists, but let them get caught in a car wreck or a fire. Let one of their loved ones get sick, be in the ICU. It was a contest went on in chapter 18, and God brought a great victory. And let me just say this to you. Listen to me carefully. There's a truth being taught in the Word of God that I can say on the authority of the Word of God, and I can also say from experience. Whenever there's a great victory in your life, you better look out. I believe we're more vulnerable than at any other time after a great victory. Elijah, this same man that stood up to 450 prophets of Baal, stood up to Ahab, stood up, beloved, in so doing, do you understand these prophets of Baal, that was Jezebel's gods. Jezebel was the most wicked woman I believe had ever walked the face of the earth. You can't even find somebody that would name their dog Jezebel, let alone one of their children. She was wicked. A great victory. Jezebel sends Ahab, or by Ahab sends Elijah word. By this time tomorrow, you see my prophets today, by this time tomorrow, the same will be your plight. Watch here in the Word of God. Let's read it together. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Let me just stop a minute. I'm not sorry, but I can't even hardly read the Word of God. I just reminded of something God taught me when I read that. Ahab told Jezebel of all that Elijah had done. Big mistake. Elijah didn't do anything up on Mount Carmel.
Amen.
God did it.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing? Sometimes there can be a move of God and some church will get credit for it, or some preacher will get credit for it. Beloved, we need to give God the glory. Amen. And realize that this great victory was not because Elijah's a great man, but because Elijah's a man that has a great God.
Amen.
The Bible said here, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Let me ask you something. Is there any man in his own power that could have done that? Not one. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." 24 hours notice. You're going down, Elijah. Now, if it was up to Jezebel, it would have come to pass. But there's someone bigger than Elijah in the text. And when he saw that, he arose and he went for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he went himself, went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and he laid him down again. Now, you say, "Preacher, he's a pretty sorry man. I mean, he gets up, he wakes up." Do you understand that he has just run for his life for 100 miles? Now you run, let's see, 100 miles, that would, Brother Steve, probably get you from here to Whitfield. That'd be close, Brother Steve. You run from here to Whitfield. And then let somebody call you sorry because you woke up and ate one meal and wanted to lay back down. He didn't walk. He ran for his life. The word of God said then, he slept under the juniper tree and he looked, there's a cake baking. The angel come and again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." Let me just stop and say this morning. How many of y'all are saved by the grace of God? Let me tell you something about your journey. It's too great for you. It's too great for me. We need somebody to help us. That's why David said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." We need somebody to help us. Oh, you say, "Preacher, we can have church without Jesus." I hope and pray you don't even think that, let alone believe it. You can have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, without God, but you can't have church, you can't worship, amen, without God. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Nothing. The Bible said here, he arose and he did eat and drink. And you say, what happens when God shows up? He went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. This is a 40-day fast. Do you understand that? I'm going to tell you, that was a good meal, the angel there. And I'm just wondering, I've studied it out and I can't come up with a concrete conclusion. But I'm wondering if that wasn't Jesus himself, Brother Gale. Many times in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is none other than the pre-incarnate Christ. We know this, that in that still small voice that we're going to hear in a little while in this chapter, it was the Lord. And we know this, it was the Lord that said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" It was the Lord. The Bible said, and he came thither into a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Let me ask you a question. Was that true? You know what will happen under the juniper tree? You'll be convinced of things that are not true. If that devil can get you isolated, I believe that's one reason why God wants his children to go to church. If that devil can get you off there in the corner and get you isolated, he'll make you believe nobody cares. He'll make you believe ain't nobody praying. And if they are praying, ain't nobody listening to their prayers. You say, "Preacher, why would he do something like that?" He can't help it. He's a liar. And the father of a lie. The devil's just about like, I won't name names today, but he's just about like a lot of the politicians. You can tell they're lying because their mouth's moving. when he's saying anything, it's not for our benefit. It's to hurt us, to destroy us. You say, well, preacher, he must really think I'm something. He rides me a lot. No, no, no. He's not impressed with you. He's not impressed with me. It's our God that he hates. He despises him. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. I was studying this last night, and I'll challenge you to do this afternoon as you read the chapter again. How many commit to do that? Read it again this afternoon. I'll challenge you to do this. Parallel what's going on here with Elijah and what went on with Moses. That might be another reason that maybe think about in the revelation, the two witnesses might be Moses and Elijah. I don't know. Some think it's Enoch and Elijah. It really doesn't matter to me. I know this. He's going to have two witnesses. That's going to tell the truth. While the whole world's been sucked in by a lie. The word of God said, go forth, stand upon the mount before Horeb, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains, and it brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire, and the Lord was not in the fire. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully right here. I'd like to see the church set on fire for God. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's such a thing going on in the church world today, a strange fire. You say, preacher, what is that? That is that that does not come from the altar of God. It comes from the altar of man. That is that that man manufactured. Let me just tell you this. I believe anybody that's halfway walking with God knows the difference. Because our spirit will bear witness when it's of God. The word of God said here, he's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. He's not in a wind that would break the rocks in pieces. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And I believe with all of my heart, that's where we're missing him in this generation. When's the last time that you had absolute quiet in your life? No radio, no TV, nobody talking to you. Just absolute silence. That's hard to come by. Would anybody agree with me? You want to know why it's hard to come by? Because the devil knows God gets a lot of work done when we will be still and know that he is God. The Bible said here, and it was so when Elijah heard it. Well, Joy Behar would have called Elijah mentally ill too, wouldn't she? You'll get that after a while if you keep up with the news. And he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood in the entering of the cave. Behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what dost thou here, Elijah? Let me ask you something. How many believes, listen, that our Savior is omniscient? He knows everything. How many believes that? You say, well, then what's he doing asking these questions? I'll tell you why. He loves Elijah. It's not for information for the Savior. It's for information for the saint. That's why God's asking the question. He wants Elijah to come to grips. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? You know what? I just thank my God. Maybe you've never been under a juniper tree. I'm glad for you. But I thank my God he even shows up under a juniper tree. I did some studying and some research, and two men that I ran across that were that fought extreme battles with depression. One was Charles Spurgeon, had a very, very, very successful ministry for the glory of God. And I found out that he had a bad, bad case of gout. If you've never had gout, maybe you don't know anything about it, but I'm telling you, it's painful. And Charles Spurgeon fought a battle with depression. But I guarantee if Charles was standing here today and we said, Brother Spurgeon, will God show up under a juniper tree? He'd say, I wouldn't be doing anything for God if he didn't. Another one was Abraham Lincoln. Now, when you study these men, you would never, ever, ever, and I'm just going to go ahead and say this to you. Listen to me. God's men sometimes are good at covering it up. Does anybody understand what I just said? There are times when we go home, beloved, beat half to death. You say, preacher, why? Because we're hated. We have an enemy. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It'd be easier just to wrestle or have a boxing match with Brother Steve and get it over with. But we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. It's principalities, power, spiritual wickedness. Elijah's not just wrestling against Jezebel here. There's somebody behind that wicked woman. There's somebody behind the prophets of Baal. There's somebody behind the nation of Israel turning their back on God and worshiping idols. Last week, I think the president had a round table with people that manufacture these games. And I've never played one of them. I'm not saying that to toot my horn. I just have no interest. I played one time and it wasn't very realistic. They probably got some realistic ones now. But if I could go deer hunting in the living room, I'd probably be interested in that. I just have to eat what I kill. If I could go turkey hunting, Brother Gary Musselman, me and him go crappie fishing in the living room, that'd be fun. But I'm going to tell you something. They've got video games out where you're blowing people's heads off. And it's so realistic, you might as well just be right there looking at it. And yet that industry will stand up and say it has no effect. Brother Ryan, I believe you're the one that said it in Sunday school one time. Brother Jack used to say, be careful what you let go into your eyes. Be careful what you let go into your ears. Honey, there's no way you can let the mess of this world go in without it having an effect on your life. Amen. The Word of God is teaching us about a man here who found God under a juniper tree, ready to minister to him. And he said in verse 14, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king of Syria. I'll get into this tonight in the message, but there's something going on right here that's going to be a blessing. Elijah, when God said go, God is telling Elijah, get your eyes off of yourself. Get your eyes off of your situation. Get your eyes back on the Savior. Get your eyes back on the service and go do what I told you to do. I'm going to tell you something right now. Those who are living their life for self will spend much time under the juniper tree. I believe when Brother Spurgeon fought those battles, there was probably one thing that helped him a lot to get out from under that juniper tree. And that was those thousands of people that would gather in those crowds to hear the word of God preached. Man said one time to his wife, said, I'm not going to church. She said, yes, you are. He said, no, I'm not. I'm tired. I'm not going. His wife said, yes, you are. He said, give me three good reasons why I should go. She said, number one, you're saved. Saved people go to church. Let me say that again. Saved people go to church. If they're able, they go to church. Disabled is one thing. Unwilling is another thing. She said, number two, you love the Lord and you love his people. You need to get up, go to church. He said, what's the third reason? She said, you're the pastor. Elijah was God's prophet. Amen. Brother Steve, God wasn't done with him yet. Let me just say this to you this morning. I'd hate this thought. Brother John, I would hate the thought of knowing that I'm living and breathing. My heart's pumping and my lungs are breathing God's air, and God was done with me. Did y'all hear what I just said? I'd hate that thought. The Word of God's telling us here he's got a job to do. He said, Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Ebal Mehalah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. You know what God's telling Elijah? I'm going to clean this mess up. That's what he's telling him. Hang in there, son. I'm not finished with you. You've told me about the mess, and I know about the mess, but I'm going to clean this mess up. How many knows this world's in a mess? Amen. How many knows there's somebody coming with a broom? Yeah. Out of his mouth. Actually, the Bible said, go with a two-edged sword. He's going to clean this mess up. The Word of God said here, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. You see, over there under the juniper tree, Elijah was convinced that he was the only one left. Brother Gale, God told him, I've got 7,000, son. You know what I want to thank my God for? I believe on the authority of this book, till Jesus comes, Brother Rose, there will be a remnant of God's people on the earth. We'll never be in the majority on this earth. Narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. But I'll tell you what we are. We're in the remnant. God's people are in that remnant. The Bible said, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Boy, ain't that good. Think about that. Think about where this series of messages began. You remember when Elijah was caught up in that fiery chariot and he dropped his mantle, and Elisha took up the mantle and he smote the river. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I'm going to tell you what a successful ministry is. Listen to me carefully. It's one that begins in the power of God. That's what this mantle represents. And one that ends in the power of God. Elijah is going to end just like Elisha is starting. And Elisha is going to end well as well. And he left the ox and he ran after Elijah and he said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back, for what have I done unto thee? And he returned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen and he slew them, and he boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen. You know, if you didn't know a little bit about farming, and I would know nothing about farming if it wasn't for Dad. Just being around Dad, maybe in an antique shop. And I can remember this term, Brother Ralph. Dad would show me what a single tree was. How many knows what a single tree is? Am I saying that right, Brother Ralph? Amen. It's where you take two animals and tie them to one piece of equipment. So what Elisha's doing here, he's taking those wooden instruments that's hooked to the oxen. He's building the fire with that and then cooking the oxen on the fire. And the Word of God said, he slew them, he boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and he gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. There's something going on right here, and I'm going to quit right here. All I intended to do was read the chapter, but I'm sorry, I can't even hardly read the Bible without God stirring in my heart and in my life. Now you come on back tonight, because I doubt very seriously if I'll repeat very much at all what I've said this morning. But we're going to be in this chapter, God willing, tonight. We're going to learn some things. about where is the Lord God of Elijah. I'm going to tell you something right here. In these last words, it said he went after Elijah and he ministered unto him. Brother Steve, here's what I believe. If you and I will minister to others while we can, when that time comes in our life when we need somebody to minister unto us, God will see to it. God will see to it. And beloved, you may not believe it, but that could be before the sun goes down today. Sister Margaret's back there. Things can change in a moment of time, can't they, Sister Margaret? One moment she was able to speak her mind and her words just flowed just as smooth as silk. And another moment her heart's broken because she's got something she wants to say and not able to say it. Sister Margaret, could you imagine a preacher being in that condition? God just laying it on his heart and him not being able to say. And she's improved greatly. And I thank God for that, for each one that's prayed for. Yeah. I'm just telling you, beloved, you better minister to others while you can, because the day will come, beloved, when you will need somebody to minister to you.
Amen.
Yeah. I said to Sister Cindy the other night, how many people in this world go through this alone? They're in nursing homes. They're in VA centers, VA homes. There are people on the street that die without a friend in this world. How we ought to cherish our friends. How we ought to cherish our family. Amen. I hope this morning, if you're not saved, God will stir in your heart. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I'm going to tell you where he's at. He's here this morning. He's trying his best. Maybe you're over there under that juniper tree. He ain't waiting to hit you with a stick. He's waiting to help you. He's waiting to help you. He wants to feed you. He wants to help you get up. He wants to help you go on for the glory of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Our Father, we want to thank you this morning for your presence. Lord, there's a sweet peace in my heart. I'm grateful for that. I'm glad, Lord, that regardless of what I may go through before I leave this world, I'm convinced, Lord, I won't go through it alone. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for being there for us. Lord, this morning it's my prayer. You'd stir in the heart of that one that needs Jesus. Lord, I pray you'd stir in the heart of that one that's discouraged this morning, that's despondent, maybe even depressed, Lord. I wish we could understand, Lord, that our emotions and our makeup emotionally is just as much a part of us as our hands and our feet. We're not all the same. Some have great needs this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, they would consider that one that's come alongside, not listen to the devil, the liar, but listen to the Savior, the truth. I pray, Lord, that you'd save that one that's lost. Strengthen your children. In Jesus' name.